welcome to our live telephone town hall with CEO Mike Easley and your fellow Powder River Energy Corporation members. Stay on the line. We'll start our forum in just a moment here. If you'd like to ask a question live in this forum, press 0 on your phone right now or at any time during this call. We're going to run a survey question. You'll have a chance to vote on that using your touch-tone phone. I'm going to repeat this introduction just once through as we are being joined by your fellow members by the moment. Thank you so much for being on the call. This is a live telephone town hall meeting with CEO Mike Easley and your fellow Powder River Energy Corporation members. Now, we want to discuss issues that can affect your rates and your electric cooperatives, and so if you'd like to ask a question about that, you can press 0 to ask a question live of Mike in this forum. And we'll also have a survey for you to vote on using your touch-tone phone, so be sure to stick around that for that. Again, this is a live forum, and we want you to ask questions, so please do press 0 if you have a question for Powder River Energy Corporation CEO Mike Easley. And one more thing, if we don't have your most current email address and you want to get updates from Powder River Energy Corporation moving forward, you can push 7. Again, if we don't have your most current email address, we want to keep you updated. Moving forward, press 7 to give us your email address. Press 0 to give us your question, and we'll get you up to ask that question live in our forum. I'm going to real quick go through the highlights one more time. This is a live telephone town hall meeting with Powder River Energy Corporation members, and thank you for being on it. If you come up with a question you'd like to ask, press 0. The sooner you get in with a question, the better chance we'll have of getting you in the time that we have. So do press 0 if you have a question, and press 7 if you want to give us your email address to get email updates from PREC moving forward. We'd like to keep you updated, and if we don't have your most current contact information, we want you to push 7 right now and give our operator your email address. So once more, that's 0 for questions, 7 to give us your email address, and it's my pleasure to introduce Mike Easley, CEO of Powder River Energy Corporation. Mike, take it away.
Yeah, thanks, Ian. Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us for our third pre-corp telephone town hall meeting. These have been great events, the two previous that we've had, and I am just super excited about the opportunity to sit down with you folks, have a conversation about some of the important things that are impacting our electric rates, and to also deal with questions that, you might have. I can tell you that at our last annual meeting, we had 75 members who, from the best of our records, were first-time attendees of our annual meeting. That was significant. It was huge. And it's a great indicator of the member engagement that we have here at Powder River Energy. And I stand ready to give you guys a little more information on some of the challenges that are facing us, but also, more importantly, to answer questions that you do have. You know, obviously, I probably won't be able to get to everyone's specific questions tonight. Hopefully, the questions that we come will be general, things that may concern you as well. But if we do get a record of your question as you go through the process to leave that, we will have the team follow up with you offline to do our best to answer your questions. The overall, I would like to tell you that the cooperative network, because of actions that we've been working on, plus the 900 or so co-ops nationally, have delivered 1 million comments to the EPA regarding the EPA regulations. That is a significant number of comments. I've seen some of the information, and if you were to stack those end to end, they'd be as tall as the Statue of Liberty, type of a thing. So it's impressive what the co-op network has done, and we're here tonight to answer a few more questions and then to make one more ask of you before the night's up, regarding how we can develop some really high-impact comments to send into the EPA. So with that, if we have any questions, we certainly want to limit my talking and get to answering questions if we have any that are on yet.
Sure thing. Yeah, and for those folks who are just joining us, if you have a question you'd like to ask Powder River Energy Corporation CEO Mike Easley, please press 0 on your phone right now. We'd love you to get up and ask your questions live. For those of you who are just joining us, so you can also press 7 to give us your email address. If we don't have your most current email address, we'd like to get it so we can keep you updated. Before we get to our questions, I'd like to run a survey question for those of you who are on the line, and you can vote on that using your touch-tone phone. We want to know, concerning the plan, if you are a member of plan and you would like us to comment for you, press 1. And if you would like to join PLAN and have PreCorp comment to the EPA on your behalf, press 2. And I'm going to repeat that poll in just a moment here. But, Mike, we're still waiting for questions to come in live. We've got some in the queue, but they're not quite up yet. Could you explain the plan to the folks on the line, and I'll remind them about the poll afterwards?
Sure. The plan stands for the PreCorp Local Action Network, and this is a PreCorp homegrown local action network. It's a way that we are organizing our membership to be able to mobilize them to take action on our behalf. Currently in front of us, we have been looking at taking action and commenting through primarily the electronic medium, through the website portals that are provided to us to make comments to EPA, and that's through the PreCorp Local Action Network. We're working with our statewide association and the 900 co-ops nationally to provide meaningful comment from the co-op world on the EPA regulations.
Great, and thank you very much, Mike, for that. And a reminder, the poll that's open right now and you can vote on your phone is concerning the plan. We want you to press 1 if you're a member of plan and you'd like us to comment for you, and press 2 if you'd like to join plan and have PreCorp comment to the EPA on your behalf. So if you're already a member of plan, press 1. If you'd like to join plan, press 2. And we're going to get to our first live question, but a reminder for those of you who are on the call, if you'd like to ask a question like Robert's about to, press 0 on your phone right now. Robert, you're live. Go ahead, please, sir.
Yes, my question was, recently I read an article that the EPA is pushing the coal mines in Virginia. They've closed a lot of them down. The towns are abandoned. And Arch Coal had to close one of their mines there. Is that coming to the West, too? Are the EPA really pushing hard to close these coal mines here? Because this is what generates our power here. To me, I think their demands are ridiculous, but that's my question anyway.
Hi, Robert. That's a really great question. And as you stated, we are seeing coal mines that are closing on the east. That's the eastern coal. Right now in Wyoming, our coal mines are definitely feeling the pressure of the EPA regulations. They're also feeling pressure of just having access to adequate rail, which is probably the most immediate concern that we have that's facing us for the winter. But ultimately, the EPA regulations do drive a shift from coal to either gas generation or renewables if they happen to be available on the grid. That if those regulations are enacted as written, which we hope that they will not be, it could result in some significant decrease in volume for Powder River Basin coal, which could have significant impact on the tonnage that comes out of the Powder River Basin. I saw a study last week provided at the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority meeting, their energy conference, where they showed almost half a loss of about half the production of PRB coal out 20 years in a worst case scenario. So that is a real risk that we are facing, and that's one of the reasons that one of our asks tonight for those that are participating, even if you have made comments before using the website portals, we are actually going to be sending out a mailer to our plan members and ask with a self-addressed envelope to ask you if you could actually handwrite your comments regarding the impacts of what it would be like for you with your electric rates to go up, or if you see looking around at your communities, people that you know that work in the industry, and also businesses that may be associated, what does Wyoming look like if we suffer a major impact on our coal industry? And understanding that and being able to send that personal message of handwritten notes to the EPA will be extremely powerful. The PreCorp Local Action Network, we call that the PLAN. It's an acronym. That is the organization that we have put together to help us consolidate and communicate with our members who are specifically interested in taking action on issues that are important to Powder River Energy. And I appreciate everybody being part of that call, and those of you that have either signed up for PLAN previously or even signed up for the PLAN tonight.
Great. Thank you very much, Mike. And thank you. Appreciate that question. Thanks for being in our forum. We're going to go to Wendy's question live next, and you can push zero if you'd like to ask a question. I think we already answered Mark had a question. He wanted more explanation about plan, and Mike's gone ahead and done that. So I'll remind folks that you can push one on your phone right now if you're already a member of plan and would like us to comment to the EPA on your behalf. And if you'd like to join plan and have Precorp comment to the EPA on your behalf, you can press two right now. So if you're not already, you haven't already joined plan and you want us to comment to the EPA on your behalf, do press two right now on your phone. Appreciate that. Our next live question is going to come from Wendy. Wendy, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you know exactly how much our electric bill is going to go up per kilowatt.
Hey, Wendy, that's a really great question, and I've lived long enough to know that knowing exactly what the future is going to portray for us is a really hazardous guess. I can tell you that right now, if you take a look at our power bills, this next year, our wholesale power costs are not going up. They have been stable for 2 years. If we were to lose coal production and transfer to gas prices, we know the price of gas is very volatile compared to the price of coal. We would probably see some price spikes. I can't tell you that the prices of our energy would double, but if you take a look at other parts of the country where they do not have coal in the mix, where they rely heavily on gas generation, their prices are easily double what Powder River Energy prices are.
Thank you very much, Wendy, for your question. Thanks, Mike, for the answer. We're going to get our next live question up from Frank. But a reminder that you can push zero at any time if you'd like to ask a question in our forum. Frank, you're up.
Hi, Mike. This is Frank.
Hi, Frank. How you doing?
Good. Say, it's been my experience that the EPA is a kind of a nameless, faceless entity out there that no one seems to be ultimately responsible for. It's the EPA. I have trouble finding that listed in somebody's name as being an EPA. How much success do you feel that what you're doing with the plan is going to impact their decision making?
I think that's a really great question, Frank. And you know, it seems like these government agencies, you know, tend to, you know, have it's like, who do we talk to? What are, you know, what's the people behind it? And, you know, one thing is we have worked and met people that we've had an opportunity to meet with the head of the EPA, have some discussions. Also, some of the senior people that have been developing the regulations I've had the privilege to meet and have had some pretty interesting discussions with those folks. So there are people that are there, and there are names, you know, within the organization, but primarily the EPA, when you take a look at the existing rules that have already been passed and have become law, the EPA is basically just carrying out, you know, rules that have been either defined by regulation and subsequent court cases. And in those particular cases, a lot of the input and opportunity for input that we have is just really not that open. We're in a process right now where there is rulemaking, and the EPA is broadly seeking comment from everybody in the country on the rules. And our ability to move the needle, our ability to tell our story, I think, has, from what I have seen come out of the EPA, this has been probably one of the most interactive processes and rulemakings that they've ever had. I can tell you that the final rules will not be, I don't think they will be decided without some significant court cases and lawsuits from all facets of industry as well as the environmentalists. I'm sure there'll be lawsuits on both sides of the fence. But our million comments that the co-ops have been able to put together and Precorp's involvement in that with our Precorp Local Action Network, those comments absolutely do make a difference. And one of the things that I'm asking for folks tonight is if you could actually take 15 minutes and tell a personal story on a handwritten letter and send that into our office in the self-addressed envelopes that we'll be providing you. We will scan those, and we will actually make those part of the record that Precorp submits. And those comments will be read, and they will be addressed, and I feel we'll be able to make an impact, not only with aligning with the million comments made nationally by co-ops, but with the co-ops that we've made locally in Wyoming. I think it's definitely worth your time, and the people at EPA will definitely pay attention to those comments.
Thank you very much, Mike, and thank you, Frank, for that question. And Frank and everybody else, if you haven't already, if you'd like to join the Precorp Local Action Network and send us some comments to submit to the EPA on your behalf, you can press 2 on your phone right now. So press 2 if you'd like to join PLAN. Press 1 if you've already joined PLAN and you'd like to submit potentially more comments to the EPA on your behalf. So 1 if you're already a member, 2 if you'd like to join PLAN. And our next live question is going to come from Jerry. Jerry, you're up. Go ahead. Jerry, are you there? Jerry, can you hear us? All right, I've got Jerry's question. Oh, Jerry, you're live on the line with Mike Easley. Go ahead with your question, please.
Hi, Jerry.
Jerry?
Hit me.
Can you hear us, Jerry?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Yeah, we are. Did you have you wanted some comments you wanted to make to Mike Easley?
Yes. I would like to know if the young people or the ones that are fighting against all the oil, gas, everything, do they realize how much is going into everyday living, like iPads, iPhones, tennis shoes, clothing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, everything. Do they realize that? That is, PLAN is the base of our economy. That's fine.
Yeah, Jerry, I think your question goes to, do people realize just how much energy goes into all the products that we use, and also what types of energy that we may use, how they're derived, and what impacts that we have. And I can tell you, I think young people, as well as old people, don't understand the complexity of power production, generation, and all those all the different technologies and the things that we need to do to keep the lights on, frankly. And so I think that education is a big part of it. And I think, you know, when we see our young people, what they're taught in schools and how they understand the world is very important. And it's certainly a lot more complex than a lot of people realize. You know, one of the things I had the opportunity just last week to mentor a young man who is looking at potentially being an engineer someday, a young kid around 12 years old. And we were talking about solar power and maybe kind of working on a project. And I mentioned that his project would actually need to have battery backup to make his project work, because the sun doesn't always shine and the wind doesn't always blow. And it was an interesting opportunity to sort of see the light bulbs go off when people understand that, you know, renewable energy, wind energy, those are all good sources of energy, but we're also very used to having our energy available anytime we want it with as much quantity as we want it. And those are definite teachable items for both old and young alike. That's a great question, Jerry. Thanks for asking it.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jerry, and thank you, Mike. And we're going to get to another live question in a moment, but we've actually got a commonly asked question that we get via email a lot. And I'll actually take this moment to remind folks that if we don't have your most current email address, you can push 7 on your phone right now, and we can make sure we keep you updated moving forward. So again, push 7 if you want to give us your most current email address. Our question via email is, what is the latest on carbon capture research in Wyoming? Could you touch on that for us, Mike?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ian, and I can tell you that in just after the legislative session ended this year, the legislature passed some funding to actually put an integrated test center in Wyoming for the purposes of commercializing as quickly and as efficiently as Wyoming can the capture of CO2 out of our existing coal plants, and then taking that CO2 and looking at using it for enhanced oil recovery to recover more efficiently some of the oil reserves that we cannot get with conventional means. That is one of the first test centers that I know of that a state has actually taken action on helping to bring that to realization. And I know that Governor Mead and his energy policy folks are working very, very diligently to bring that project to fruition. That would position Wyoming to accelerate its efforts to commercialize CO2 capture, enhanced oil recovery, and then ultimately CO2 utilization, which is more of a long-term prospect of turning CO2 from what would be considered a liability into an asset and perhaps be some sort of a feedstock for some other process. On another note, within the country, NRG in Texas, it's called the Petro Novo Project, just commissioned the groundbreaking on a carbon capture project to capture around 100 megawatts worth of CO2, a flue gas from a CO2, pipeline that to an oil field and use that to enhance oil recovery. And I will be going to a project in Canada next week. Sask Power, one of the crown-owned businesses in Canada, has just opened and put online an energy complex that has three or four coal units, and one of those units with a 90% carbon capture on that, and they're also using that for enhanced oil recovery. Those technologies, the capture technologies that are out there, are becoming scalable from a commercial perspective, but they come with an energy penalty in your power plan of 20 to 25%. And so right now, from an affordability perspective, capturing that CO2 really needs to have some augmentation with enhanced oil recovery to provide an economic, a good economic model to do that.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Mike. And we're going to go to our next live question, but actually we're going to take two or three more questions. We have a few minutes left, but this is the last chance you'll have to press 7 to give us your email address. So please press 7 now to give us your email address so we can keep you updated moving forward. This is your last opportunity to do that. And Judy is our next live question. Judy, go ahead.
Hi, Judy.
Judy, are you there? Looks like Judy might have walked away from her phone. I've got a summary of her question from our operator. She said her husband recently passed away, and they were both retired on a limited income. The prices are fine, but they're concerned if they go on gas, she doesn't know how she'll be able to make it. She might have to get a part-time job, and she wants to know why the government is adding on. Can you field that for us, Eric?
Yes, certainly I can. And Judy, that's a great question, and thanks for framing that up for us. I can tell you that energy security, energy affordability are huge aspects of what needs to be considered if EPA is to pass the rules as they've written them. And I would really encourage you, Judy, to take the time to write a personal letter, send it into PreCorp, so we can use that as part of our response to EPA. Your comments with other folks from our PreCorp Local Action Network will really be helpful to add to the million comments that have already been made by EPA. I don't think you have to worry about going out and getting that extra job anytime in the very near future. These regulations will be something that will be part of under development and in lawsuits for several years to come. But I can tell you that it's awfully tough for anybody that's on a fixed income when commodity type prices start to increase, whether it's energy price, whether it's electricity, whether it's fuel for our cars. We are so dependent upon having affordable energy to maintain the quality of life, and typically those that may be on fixed incomes or those that maybe not have high income jobs are always the ones that are most effective. And I can tell you that Peabody Energy has developed a great campaign talking about these impacts of energy security and affordability, not only here in the country but globally, and the ability for an economy to and people within a certain economy to be able to actually afford to buy. This is kind of an interesting number. I think it's 3,000 kilowatt hours a year. If a country or a location can get affordable electricity at that higher than that quantity, then all of a sudden the quality of life for the people that are involved in that begins to take off. So it really is, as we look at these regulations and the impacts on our industry, on our economy, whether it's people that work at the coal plant, people that support those industries, energy security is a big issue, and it's one that we need to be paying attention to. I can tell you that our job as a co-op is to look out ahead as far as we can and to give you as much notice as we can the prices of what we see prices, how we see prices changing. We do know that in probably in 2016, we will see another rate increase in Powder River Energy, not driven by these EPA regulations, but just from the cost of doing business increasing and our sales decreasing. We just had a rate increase this year, which was an extra $3 million or so dollars. It would be out of the question for us to see that similar increase sometime in 2016, and I think that averaged out to be, depending on your particular usage, $3 to $5 a month extra for the average residential user.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Mike. Thanks for the question. And we're going to go to our next live question right away. It's Helen. Helen, go ahead.
Yes. My question is, if we are forced to convert our plants to be able to use oil versus coal, won't that be a capital cost, and won't that add to an additional cost on the bill, perhaps in the membership fee?
Well, Helen, your question about what would be the cost if we were forced to convert, and from our perspective, what would happen is our existing coal plants that we've invested in through our power supplier Basin Electric would continue to run probably for their currently estimated useful life. The issue there is that the better that we take care of these plants, they can often extend that useful life farther than what was originally estimated. So what would happen in the future is you would see, like in Wyoming, the Dry Fork plant, for instance, I can't see a scenario where that plant would actually convert to gas, but what would happen is as we were to increase loads beyond what the capabilities of that plant would be, we would be required to put in new generation that was gas generation. And from that perspective, the biggest issue that comes to mind is just the volatility that we see in gas prices, as well as the potential inability for us to really get every useful hour, every useful day out of our existing coal plants. But regardless of what happens, because we are a cooperative, whatever cost that we do experience through our power supplier, we have nobody else to go to but our membership for the money, which is a little bit different than the investor-owned utility model, in that a lot of times, in an investor-owned utility model, there are shareholders that are used to making a return, and there are customers that are paying the bill. And there's almost sometimes the regulators look at potentially two places to get money. In the co-op model, we just have the member owner who is a customer. And that's pretty significant. That's why it is so critical for the co-op network to stand up strong on this issue. That's why we have 1 million comments nationally. And that's why we've been able to mobilize member engagement at Powder River Energy to an all-time high to help us generate comments to the EPA. And we certainly would ask you again to take a minute, write your personal story, send that into us, either on the mailer that you're going to get from Precorp with the step addressed envelope, drop it by the office, or send it in yourself. We will take those comments, we will compile those, and submit a very high impact package of comments to EPA, in addition to the well over 500 or so comments that we've been able to generate through the web-based portal systems.
Thanks so much, Mike, and thank you. Appreciate you being on, Helen. We're going to get up Ruben real quick. Ruben, you're up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just have a comment because I'm a coal miner, so it would definitely affect my way of living. And if you ever go to a coal mine, especially Spring Creek, you can go over there and see where we reclaimed the land, if not better than what it was before. If they're trying to say that we're not doing a good job, I think we really are. And it directly affecting me really bothers me.
Yep. Yeah, Ruben, I tell you what, we do energy development right in Wyoming, and our Powder River Basin coal mines, yours and the other ones, are definite stewards of our environment. They are totally in line with Governor Mead's energy strategy about the highest and best possible use of our state's resources for the benefit of its citizens. We do it right in Wyoming. Every time that somebody we bring outside tours in, the state does, to take a look at what we do as an industry, and everybody is impressed when they see how good of a job that we do with that. I can tell you that if we were absolutely perfect in everything that we did, we still have the issue of the CO2 issue to deal with. Whether or not we like it, the regulations and the world is pushing us to a CO2 constrained economy and environment. We've got to push back as hard as we can for as long as we can to give ourselves time to be able to deal with this and to make sure that we don't do anything that creates unreliable and unaffordable power supply.
Thank you so much, Mike. And thank you, Ruben. Really appreciate you being on the call and coming in with that comment. And we still have five questions we're not going to be able to get to. We've actually gone over the time we had scheduled for this call. But if you stick around until after we close out the call in just a minute here, you can leave us a voicemail message, leave your contact information. We're going to get back to all of you, so be sure to leave us that voicemail message when we close out the call. And Mike Easley, go ahead and take us to the end, please.
Just again, I mentioned earlier, I was just extremely excited about the opportunity to work with all of you in trying to help pave the way for a better future for Powder River Energy and the co-op industry. Your engagement as a member and you taking the responsibility serious as an owner of Powder River Energy, those will be the keys to our success. As I mentioned in my annual meeting speech, the last thing that I want to do is to rely on scare tactics to mobilize people to action. I think your participation at this level, learning the issues, and making very very good comments and providing us the kind of support we need to move the ball on this issue or other issues that may come down in front of us. We are a co-op. It's about neighbor helping neighbor. It's about member control. And it's about having improving the quality of life for our communities here in Northeast Wyoming. And I thank you all very much for your participation. I know our board of directors is very excited about your involvement. And from the perspective of the Precorp team, the almost 150 or so folks that work tirelessly to keep the lights on and our committed board of directors, we thank you for your interest and your participation in our town hall and your involvement in the Precorp Local Action Network. Thank you.